And we're going to turn in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and then we're going to turn to Hebrews 11. Okay, we've been reading this each week during Lent. Mark 1, verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. Let's turn over to Hebrews and chapter 12. I read just the first two verses. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray for a second. Father, speak into our hearts, we pray. Speak words of life, of love. We ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this Lent, we've been thinking about prayer in the desert, silent stillness, meditation, prayer in the desert. How do we live in the difficult places? How did Jesus live in the difficult place in the wilderness? And a question I'm going to pose today and seek to answer is this. What is the best way to make progress in following Jesus? And as you might expect, there are going to be three answers. But what is the best way to make progress in following Jesus? If you are young, you need to hear this, because you have a lifetime ahead of following Jesus. And there are some habits, if you can get them when you're young, and establish the good habits when you're young, they will be helpful for you through your whole life. But here's the more difficult thing. If you are old, and when you were young you got into bad and sloppy and lazy habits, it is way more difficult for you to unlearn what you've learnt than for young people to establish the new habits. So if you're an older person, what I say today may be actually more difficult, because you might have to say, okay, I need to junk some stuff. Because if you're 60, how much longer have you got to live? Another 20 years? 30? 30 years? 40 years? How much longer do you want to live, Margaret?
As long as possible.
As long as possible? 34. Another 34 years. But that's the point. When we get to a certain age, don't think your life's over. You've got a lot of living yet to do. Whether it is 20, 30, 40, 50 years still to live. And we're still on the journey of following after Jesus. For some of us, we've got as much of our life to live still as we have already lived. A lot longer. So what is the best way to make progress in following Jesus? Here's some of the verses we read from Hebrews 12. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And here we can highlight three aspects of this. Let us throw off. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That's the first answer. How do we make progress? Good progress in our following of Jesus, wherever we're starting from. Let's throw off anything that hinders. Let's throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. Second answer, let us run with perseverance. I don't know how many of you remember Helena Carpenter. I remember talking to Helena Carpenter about this text. And she's a lovely lady who loved God deeply. And she said, what I love about this text, it doesn't say walk. It doesn't say stroll. It says run with perseverance. Run. You kind of think, okay, when was the last time you went for a run? Doesn't the very thought of it make you feel tired? Doesn't it? Oh. And yet the writer here is so energized. You see, he's just told the story of loads and loads of people who were faithful, who discovered that God was faithful, and they made it. They stayed faithful. And he's so inspired by all of them that he says, come on, guys. Let's not stroll the rest of our journey. Let's run it. Let's do this. That's the second answer. How do we make progress? The first thing is to throw off. Throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. The second answer is what we've just been saying. Let's run with perseverance. The race marked out for us. That's what God has for us in the rest of our life. Whether that is 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, however long it is. And then thirdly, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. I remember Linford Christie, the Olympic sprinter, he was asked, you know how, you know, at the beginning of sprint races, 100 meter finals, the camera moves across the sprinters on the start line and they're all kind of shaking themselves or doing whatever they do, you know. And somebody once said to him, what are you listening to? There's a crowd cheering and roaring. What are you listening to? What's going on for you? He says, I haven't got a clue. I've just got my eyes set straight there on the finishing line. He says, block everything out. It doesn't matter who's to my left or my right. He said, it's just the finishing line. That's all I'm interested in. And that's what's in view here. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's see where we're going. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Okay, I'm going to put those three things into three points. First of all, get rid of excess baggage. Let's throw off everything that hinders. Sin that so easily entangles. Let's get rid of the excess baggage that we carry. Secondly, let's make an effort. That's the running with perseverance. And thirdly, fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's focus. Let's focus. Get rid of excess baggage. Well, the scripture says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, sinful. I begin just by talking about sinful habits. Habits are very easy to get into. And the difficulty with habits, and particularly sinful habits, is that you don't know they're habits when you get into them. You see, you just do it. And then you do it again. And then you do it again. And before long, without even realizing it, you've normalized your behavior. You'd never intended that that would be a rut you would fall into. And maybe even you thought, well, if I fall into that rut, I can easily get out. But isn't it true, the more you do something, the deeper you get into that rut? And this can be things that you do or say. This can be ways that you think or you respond or you feel. And the scripture says, let us throw off everything that hinders. What hinders you? What hinders you? Remember hearing the story. I hadn't been in the church very long. Somebody told the story. Just as an illustration, there was a man who got up one morning, had his breakfast, left his house, and went to work. And he walked to work, and on his way to work, he walked down a particular road, and he fell down a hole. He wasn't there the day before, but he fell down the hole. And he thought, oh, got up out of the hole, carried on. The next morning, the same man got up, had his breakfast, left his house, walked down the road, and he fell down the hole. And he thought, oh, man. Done that again. Got up, carried on, went to work. The next morning, what did he do? He got up out of bed, he had his breakfast, left the house, walked down the road, and he fell down the hole. He thought, oh man, shouldn't do that. Got up, carried on. The next morning, he got up, had his breakfast, left the house, walked down the road. What did he do? He fell down the hole. And he went to see his pastor at church and said, you know, I've got this problem. It never used to be like this, but every time I go to work, I walk down this road and I fall down the hole. What should I do? His pastor said, walk down another road. Walk down another road. And some of us have got stuck into thinking the way that we live, the responses that we make to people, the attitudes we have, they are, well, it's just us. It's just me. And I can't do any difference. And the difficulty is that sometimes we have, you know, we face situations and we have responses to people and situations. And after, you know, have you ever been there where you've said something and the moment you've said it, you've regretted it? Have you ever been there? Well, the moment you've done something, you thought, oh, I wish I didn't. But I do. I can't help myself. You see, as soon as we say, this is me, I can do no other, we are believing the lie. And where do lies come from? From the pit of hell. Okay? That's what Satan tells us. That's what the devil tells us. He tells us, don't worry, that's the only road you can walk down. There are no other roads. But Jesus says there's a new way to live and to walk. Let us throw off everything that hinders. So whether we're 10 or 20, 50 or 60, 80 or 90, it doesn't really matter. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, the habits that have bound us for a little time or a long time. If we're going to make progress in our following after Jesus, some of us have to wake up and realize there is a different way of living. And we have to give ourselves a good shake and say, come on, I'm going to stop living the lie. There is a better way. I don't have to respond with anger, with bitterness, with hurt. That's the way I responded when I was 10, when I was 20 years old, because of something that happened. But I'm not 10 or 20 anymore. I'm 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. I don't have to live that way anymore. I can live free. I can live full of love and kindness. I can be generous. I can be encouraging. I remember somebody saying to me about encouragement, you know, you keep on going on about encouragement. And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, do you know what's great? You know, encouragement never runs out. I said, what do you mean? He said, the great thing about encouragement is we're not working on a limited supply. You know, if you've got a pack of biscuits at home and you think, right, I really love these biscuits, but I want to make them last. I really want to savour them. So I'll just have one a day. Or maybe you look at the best before date on the packets and you think, actually, these biscuits, they could last 4 weeks. Good biscuits. And so you think, right, I'm not going to have one a day. I will space them out. I'll have one biscuit every so often. Because I've only got so many. I've only got one packet. And that's sometimes how we treat encouragement. I won't say too many affirming things to other people because I'm living on a limited supply of encouragement. I might run out. Well, utter nonsense. We're not living on a limited supply of encouragement. You can offer all the affirmation you like, all the encouragement you like. You'll never run out of it. But that is a choice to say, I don't want to live in the way that I've been living. I want to throw off the bad habits. I want to get rid of the attitudes, the responses that have just bound me up for so long. And it's not that I'm walking this race. It's not that I'm strolling. I don't seem to be going anywhere. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's get rid of excess baggage. And what do I put down at the bottom? Stop watching, listening to, or reading rubbish. Why do I put that? Well, where does the baggage come from? Where does the baggage come from? Where's the stuff come from that you don't need? Well, because you watch rubbish on the TV or the computer. Because you listen to rubbish on the radio, other people's conversations, and so on. Because you're reading rubbish. You say, what do you mean? I can't watch that TV program anymore? Yeah. Don't watch it. Why not? Because you're filling your life with rubbish. Yeah, if we fill our lives with rubbish, what have you got to do? You've got to throw it out sometime. So why put it in? Does that make sense? Possibly. But that's the challenge. Let's throw off everything that hinders. Let's run with perseverance. Well, let's stop putting rubbish in. Let's be determined together with God's grace that this is what we can do. Now, we're going to pause just at this point. And I want us just to reflect. What about me? What about me? What is it that I need to throw off? What is it that hinders me? What is it that's entangling me? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? Okay, so the second thing, if the first is get rid of excess baggage, the second is make an effort. And this is the run with perseverance. Run with perseverance. And this is making an effort. This is not strolling. This is not walking. This is running. This is making an effort. What's the best way to make progress? Yes, we can throw off the excess baggage. But then we have to make an effort. And this is about making a choice, deciding ourselves, we are going to make an effort. We are going to make this life work. Some people, G.K. Chesterton, long time ago, he said this. The Christian life has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Did you get that? The Christian life has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Why do people no longer make an effort? Because the Christian life has been found difficult. The Christian life has been found difficult, so we put it on the side. And we think, well, I can get by just by coming to church, I can get by certain Christianish habits, but I'm no longer running. But it's okay. What's the best way to make progress? What should we do? Well, simply suggest this. Choose good habits that will change your heart and help care for your soul. Choose good habits that will change your heart. Think, what could I do that would change my heart? What could I do that would help care for my soul? Now, if I said to you, okay, what do you need to do to care for your body? You come up with a million ways. You'd probably say, eat healthily, perhaps. You might say you need to exercise more. Don't know what else. Go regularly to the doctor. What was that? Sleep. Ah, yes. Yeah, feel it today. Yeah, your body needs good sleep, you know. And immediately we can think, okay, I know we educate ourselves in taking care of our bodies. Well, what about our hearts and our souls? What about the part of us that we need for our spiritual journey? Choose good habits that will help care for your soul. Now, I've just said this is about making an effort. This is about running with perseverance. And you'll think this next thing is a bit counterintuitive. But the first thing is stop. What's the first good habit that will change your heart and help care for yourself? Stop. That's it. Stop. Many of us have not a clue how to do that. The scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. In the midst of battle, in the midst of chaos, stop and be still. How do you care for your soul? Stop. And I know why we don't stop. I think more often than not, it's not that we haven't got time to stop and all that. We don't stop. You know, when I stop and I'm still, do you know what I think about? Do you want to know what I think about? I think about all the things I don't want to think about. Which is why I don't want to stop. Because I know when I stop, I'll think about all the things I don't want to think about. When I stop and I'm still and I think about all the things I don't want to think about, why is that happening? It's because God is saying to me, Ed, you need to sort out all these things. And I go, no. No, I just want to sit here and be peaceful and calm. And God's going, no, I've got your attention. You've stopped. You're being still. Now let's just talk about this. No. I want peace and stillness. Now, you can have your peace and stillness when you've acknowledged you need to sort this out. And that's why we don't like to stop, because there's all sorts of junk, all sorts of rubbish that we've just kept safely down. Now, they may be attitudes, there may be things we've done that we feel guilty or shame about. Remember, the things that have been done to us, hurt and bitterness, all sorts of stuff rises to the surface. If it rises to the surface, it's because it's deep down here somewhere. And so the first thing we need to do to change our heart and care for the soul, stop, be still, and then be with God. Just be with God. And it might be, you need to, instead of batting away in the stillness the thoughts you don't want to think, just hold them before God. And say, I'd rather not think this, but they're there, and I don't know what to do with them. I've suppressed them because I don't know what to do with them. And so, here they are. Be with God. Third, have a good meal. You see, being with God, that is prayer. That is prayer. Having a good meal. You see, I'd written read the Bible. And you know, it's possible to read the Bible and all you get is information. you read the Bible and you get more information, you get more knowledge. And everybody's impressed because of what you know about the Bible. But I think it was Dallas Willard in the first week when we were looking at the DVD, he said it's all about character. It's about a changed life. How do we get that changed life? It's about having a good meal with the Bible. It's about meditating on the Bible. It's about reflecting on it, letting it change us, letting it mold our hearts and our lives. So what do we do to have a good habit that will change our heart and help care for ourselves? Stop. Be still. Be with God. Pray. Be with God. And then do good things with the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. That's chew on it. Get the goodness out of the Bible. This is not just about getting the right answers. This is about discovering God, the living Word of God. So have a good meal. Okay, we're going to pause again. What's your response? Make an effort. Run with perseverance. What do you need to do? What should you do? If you're going to make progress, maybe right now there is that sense for you of what I need to do. It's not just junk some stuff, but I need to take up good habits that will be helpful for me. Okay, so let's get rid of the excess baggage. Let's make an effort. The third is focus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He is our focal point. He's at the finishing tape, and he's also alongside us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. Decide that you'll be a disciple of Jesus. I remember some folk gave me some stick a number of years ago because I said, you know, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. Do you remember? Some of you will. So I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I'm fed up of Christians. Jesus never called me to be a Christian. He never called anybody to be a Christian. And in this world, there are so many Christians that I would never want to be like. Jesus called us to be disciples, followers. This next line, what is a disciple? Well, it's a follower, a student, an apprentice, as Dallas Willard says, an apprentice of Jesus, somebody who sits at the feet of Jesus and learns from him. That's what I want to be. Not a Christian. I want to be a disciple. And that has to be our focus. We fix our eyes on our goal. We get rid of excess baggage, and that's a process that we go through. We decide we're going to make an effort. We're going to establish good habits in our life that will stand us in good stead for years and years and years to come. But we do need to focus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to decide we'll be a disciple of Jesus. And so what do? We need to read about Jesus. We need to reflect on Jesus. We need to pray that the life of Jesus might become rooted in us. We need to read about Jesus, not just to read the things that he did. We need to read what he said. What did Jesus teach? I've said, I think, before, you know, the wristbands, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And somebody pointed out that has a ring of what would Jesus do if he was here? Well, where do you think Jesus is? Is he with you or not? You know, I'm here, not Jesus. So I'm going to do it. You know. In fact, he should be some WWJD. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus teach? Is what we should be thinking. That's what an apprentice does. What does the master teach? What does he say? What's his teaching? And we seem to be very good at thinking, what would he do? What did he teach? That's the role of an apprentice. And so we need to read about Jesus, reflect on Jesus, and pray that the life of Jesus might become rooted in us. That's our focus upon Jesus. And so we have these three simple things. They are, get rid of excess baggage. And that's something we have to deal with radically and clearly if we're going to make progress in our journey of following after Jesus. But we also have to make an effort. We have to decide this won't happen all on its own by itself. We have to make an effort to run that race with perseverance. And thirdly, our focus. We have to be clear. Where are we heading? Who is it for? I want to be an apprentice, a disciple of Jesus. I want to learn, what did he teach? And can I do that for myself? Whether it's at work or at school or at home, in my family, in my friendships, my relationships, what is it? Can I do what he taught I should do? And I trust that as we allow God to come close, as we stop and we're still, as we take time to be with God, as we have our good meal, letting the living word of the Bible feed us, a transformation will take place. And during Lent, this is a time of challenge. Lent is a time of challenge, and that needs to be so for us. Let's pause. And we're going to pray and just ask God that in his mercy, we will know him close to encourage us and strengthen us. Lord God, have mercy upon us. We come humbly in our need. Lord God, have mercy upon us. We come humbly in our need. Your love reaches to the heavens. We come humbly in our need. Your love reaches to the heavens. We come humbly in our need. Father, we ask that in your mercy and your kindness, you'd just be planting something in us today that is helpful, that is creative, that is good, that is productive. That your blessing would rest on us today. And if we're afraid today, Father, help us to come to you. If we're uncertain today, Father, help us to come to you. If we're excited, Father, we come to you. We come to you that this Lent we might know something of self-discipline, that choosing, that determination, that our life of following after Jesus will be worthwhile. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.